Okay, the question is one that is asked often a lot by those that are concerned about the eternal welfare of those they witness to. And the question basically is one of what's called universal reconciliation. Okay, in other words, when it says that Christ died for our sins, did he die for just the sins of the elect, or did he die for everyone's sins? And of course, also corollary to that is, does that include those who don't believe? In other words, does faith and the end result, or not having faith, affect that determination? Okay, and so we're going to take a look at both things today. Okay, first of all, as far as whether Christ died for the sins or of the elect, or for everyone's sins, we have a passage that really speaks to that. If you look at, and I'm going to share the screen here. I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 4. Okay. Verse number 10, so we're going to take a look at that. 1 Timothy, let's see. And actually, this passage really addresses both issues. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, on the left. Somebody go ahead and read it.
Therefore, both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe.
Yeah. Skipper, take care of those that come in now, please. Thanks. All right. So, you see that in verse 10, we have the fact that God is the Savior of all. So that would include, but especially of those that believe. So when you talk about Christ dying for our sins, he died for everyone's sins. Okay? But it's only effective for those who believe. In other words, the provision is for all, but it's only applied to the souls of those who believe, okay? This is what we can see here. If you look, for example, again, as far as Christ dying for all of our sins, if you recall one of the parables concerning, the earthly kingdom that is Israel's, if you look at Matthew chapter 13, we'll put that on the right. The one about the goodly pearl, okay? Let's see. It's further down in here. Okay, verse 45. Look at verses 45 and also verse 46. On the right, in Matthew 13. Somebody want to read that, those two verses?
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a diligent man seeking good news, who, when he had found one view of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Yeah. You see, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, he bought the whole field for that one goodly pearl, didn't he?
Right.
You see that? If you look again in verse 44, you see the same truth there. Look at verse 44, the verse above it. That's actually a stronger verse.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. The which when a man found, he hid it, and for joy thereof, going and selling all that he had, and buying that field.
See, he bought the whole field for the treasure that was in the field, didn't he? So again, you see, the death is for all, but it's only for those of faith, which the Lord calls his treasure, or the pearl of great price, okay? You see, that is the distinction that we have to make, okay? A person who does not exercise faith is promised in no uncertain terms that he is going to be forever separated from he that is eternal, okay? You have that testimony in both the OT and the NT. For example, if you go to the Old Testament and you look at Psalms 90, verse number 2, let me bring that up. Psalm 90, verse 2, and I'm going to put on the right side of the screen, Daniel chapter 12, verse number 2, okay? So, go ahead and read Psalm 90, verse 2, someone on the left.
For the mountains we are brought forth, whatever thou hast formed in the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
Okay, so there you see that God is eternal, correct? Everlasting to everlasting. Notice the word everlasting there. Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse number 2. Read that.
The dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Everlasting life, everlasting contempt. The Hebrew word is the same in terms of everlasting in all those four occurrences. Two occurrences in Psalm 90, verse 2, as it relates to the existence of God, and also in verse 2 in terms of those that have everlasting life and those that have everlasting contempt. It's the same Hebrew word. The joy is everlasting, and so is the punishment for those that are separated, okay? Because the same word is used to describe the existence of the eternal God himself, okay? So you have that in the Old Testament, and you have the same testimony in the New Testament. Come over to Matthew, Romans chapter 16. I'll put that on the left. Romans chapter 16, verse number 26. Wish I had that on the right. Let me go ahead and put that. Romans 16, verse 26. Romans 16, verse 26. And on the right, we'll put Matthew 25, verse 41. Okay? So, go ahead and read Romans 16, verse 26 on the left.
And now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of them.
See the word everlasting there, verse 41 on the Matthew 25 on the right.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
Prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, everlasting reference to the existence of God again in Romans 16:26, and everlasting in terms of the fire, the judgment for those that are separated in Matthew 25, verse 41. Okay. Both words. The punishment is the same kind of eternal punishment as God describes as his own existence as being eternal. So if the unmistakable fact is the same Greek word there in both cases, as we said, the unmistakable fact is that those without faith, okay, they had the provision, but it wasn't applied because they had no faith. That's why Paul said in that very first verse we looked at, he's the savior of all, but especially to them that believe, because those that believe have that payment applied. Okay? And we'll close with one final passage in Romans chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. We'll read those together. Go ahead, Abel, on the left, Romans 5, 17 and 18.
For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall live in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men for condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life.
And the all men there takes you back. The all is the all of verse 17, those that have received the gift of righteousness, okay, by Jesus Christ, okay, they which have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness through Christ. And how again do you receive that gift of righteousness and grace through Christ? You have to have faith, right? What are we saved by in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9? Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 on the right. For by what are you saved? Abel.
For by grace I am saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
The same gift that you see in Romans 5:17, those that have received the gift are the all that have that free gift and they are justified. Okay? It always comes back to the same thing. The death is for all, but the payment is applied to those that exercise faith in that payment. Okay? And there you have it. All right? So on that note, we'll say an amen to that question. Okay, one additional addendum here to our study to make sure that it's both the eternal punishment and the eternal life are the same word as refers to God's eternal existence. We saw that in Daniel 12, too, in terms of the Hebrew word, but we can also see it in terms of the Greek word in Matthew 25, 46. Okay, we saw 41, reference to the punishment, but in verse 46, you have both, again, references and the same word, both. Same word in verse 46 is the same word in verse 41 of Matthew 25, in terms of everlasting, and the same in terms of everlasting, in terms of God's existence himself in Romans 16, 26. Look at verse 46. So on the left, somebody read it.
And this shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life with them.
Eternal, everlasting, the same word in both cases is referring to the everlasting God of Romans 16, 26. The punishment and the eternal life, the same length and duration as the existence of God himself, who is eternal, is the same word, Greek word, in all cases. And that rests our case again, okay? In terms of being how important that faith is, because whether you have faith or not will determine whether you have that eternal life or that eternal punishment. And now we can say an amen.